supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
The former head of the Philadelphia Parking Authority is the subject of a scathing report by Pennsylvania's Auditor General. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. It comes more than 1 year since that former leader resigned amid sexual harassment allegations. WHYY's Tom McDonald reports the matter has been referred to the state's top prosecutor.
Auditor General Eugene DePasquale says former Executive Director Vince Fennerty ran the parking authority with no oversight.
It is clear from my audits that the PPA Board of Directors was like an absentee landlord when it came to running the actual operations of the Philadelphia Parking Authority, giving the former Executive Director complete control of every aspect of its operations.
DePasquale called Fennerty a tyrant and a micromanager, especially when making hires.
He personally selected who was interviewed, personally conducted all the interviews, and made all the hiring decisions. He also created an undocumented informal process of bringing forward the need to fill or create positions within the PPA. There was also a lack of transparency regarding available entry-level job openings.
The Auditor General called for returning the Parking Authority to local control instead of being a state-chartered agency. Two floors above where DePasquale issued the report, the public was already talking about the Parking Authority and a proposed amnesty program for parking tickets. Emmanuel Bussey says the report is shocking.
When you read this report, you all should be outraged at this report.
The Auditor General's report's been turned over to the Attorney General for possible criminal prosecution. A statement from Attorney General Josh Shapiro says now that the audits are complete, his office will carefully review the serious allegations of misconduct with all speed and diligence to determine if any criminal violations occurred. The Parking Authority also issued a statement saying it already has complied with 80% of the recommendations of the auditor's report. It did not address directly the lack of oversight in the past, pledging we will continue to strengthen the organization. Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
10-term Pennsylvania 1st District U.S. Congressman Bob Brady will face competition in the May primary from Philadelphia Deputy Mayor for Public Engagement Nina Ahmed. She relinquished her post last week and joins me now to make her case. Nina, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
No stranger to public service, though. Was there a tipping point for you to go from that to seeking political elected post?
Yes, I have been an advocate for the issues I care deeply about. Having women have a seat at the table, we are more than 50% of the population of the country, the globe, and yet we are still objectified, vilified, not at the table. That has been a driving force for me for a long time. And then I'm a first-generation American, so as an immigrant, I'm very thankful to this country and particular to this city for having embraced me and for me having these opportunities. And so I'm paying it forward. I want to be the person opening that door for others behind me.
Indeed, though, how do you feel you can best serve the values that you've just listed in this capacity rather than, for example, you served on advisory commissions for President Obama,
right,
your work in the Kennedy administration?
Absolutely. So I want to make sure that all legislation that comes out has the lens of equity and justice.
Quite candidly, one of the gaps you'll have to close between now and May is in terms of name recognition for Brady. Some of it is quite frankly notorious of late. And with that, weigh in on the allegations that he paid off a former adversary, Jimmy Moore.
He has two of his close folks who are indicted. And this charge that he had paid someone to leave the race, it has to be brought to the court and it'll be decided there. I have really not much to say about that because I was going to do this regardless of whether he was vulnerable or not, because I truly believe we have no women in the Pennsylvania delegation, none. For us to be in the 21st century and to have no women representing Pennsylvania is reprehensible. So I have to put my money where my mouth is and just all that I've been advocating for all these years, I feel I'm ready to do this.
Naysayers might wonder if you are championing special interests over the good of the entire community, to which you would respond?
I would respond no, because when you take the health of a country or a society, you look at how women and children are treated. So when I empower women, we're going to have an improvement across the board. Women make so many decisions about our families, about how we spend our money. So when we have situations that demean women, they are not living up to their full economic potential. And I'm very interested in linking the issues that affect women are really our economic impact. And I'm not just going to be only someone who's going to support women. I'm going to support everyone. I am going to support people who are marginalized and haven't had their voices at the table. This includes, you know, when I was in office serving the mayor, I had within my office, the Office of Black Male Engagement, which had the African-American Male Commission. The African-American man, I think, has been marginalized to a great extent in our society. And changing that narrative is very important to me.
Was Mayor Kenney surprised when you submitted your resignation?
You know, Mayor Kenney holds a very impassive face. You know, I supported the mayor heartily. I worked for him. I believe in what his aspirations are for the city. One of the things he did say was, you have to do something that you believe in, and if you don't do it, you're going to regret it. But I know he knows where my heart is. This is why he chose me to run his Office of Public Engagement, because he truly knows that my goal in life is to make sure we give the tools and pathway for people to direct their own destiny. And I'm going to continue to do that, be a voice for people who especially have not been heard, a lot of marginalized people who live in that district.
Thanks for being with us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you so much.
Nina Ahmed recently departed as Philadelphia Deputy Mayor for Public Engagement, now embarking on a potential career in politics, taking on 10-term Pennsylvania 1st District U.S. Congressman Bob Brady. This weekend, the Philadelphia Museum of Art will premiere a new play in its exhibition space, written as part of its citywide civic engagement experiment called Philadelphia Assembled. Details from WHYY's Peter Crimmins.
The name of the play is Lacune. It's a word meaning a gap or a space. Playwright Mona Washington uses it as a metaphor for the little bit of flexibility needed when two opposing things, like people or ideologies, collide.
I think that the way change happens, sometimes you have to rub up against someone or something that's different. And when there's enough space, you can learn, but sometimes you bump and you break, that kind of thing.
In the play, Washington is using that metaphor to talk about gentrification. Early last summer, she wrote a short pop-up play pitting developers' desires to meet market demand against the fears of longtime residents getting priced out of the neighborhood.
It's not in Center City.
It looks like it.
It's adjacent to Center City.
It looks like it on the map.
Washington wrote a dozen short pop-up plays like this for Philadelphia Assembled, a massive public art experiment involving 150 artists and many dozens of events and exhibitions over the course of a year. In the end, only 4 of her 12 plays were performed, but they informed a full-length play to be fully produced at the Philadelphia Museum of Art this weekend. Washington uses lacune to also describe the friction between people in neighborhoods and the Philadelphia Museum of Art itself, the so-called Palace on the Hill.
And there's a lot of bad blood and bad feelings toward the part of some people about the museum, and rightly so. I'm still in shock that they pulled this off and that it really has involved such a large number of varied artists and citizens and ideologies. There's been enough room to breathe.
Philadelphia Assembled is a grand experiment in civic engagement through art. It was masterminded by the Dutch artist Shana van Heswijk at the invitation of the art museum, but neither van Heswijk nor the museum claim to control it. Philadelphia Assembled is a decentralized network of community artists and activists who self-determined what they were going to do and how with support from the museum. It was not always a smooth collaboration. Many participants were not initially fans of the museum, like Denise Valentine, an artist and storyteller who lives in the West Oak Lane neighborhood.
I was one of those people. You know, I did visit the museum before, but I never felt welcome there. I have never felt included in the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Ultimately, Valentine became one of the more active proponents of Philadelphia Assembled, but only after feeling secure about working with the museum.
I had to have the assurance that no one was going to tell me what to say or what to do, that I'd be speaking in my own voice. I really felt as though the museum gave me room to do that.
The resulting exhibition, which opened in September, took over the entirety of the museum's Perelman building. It forced the museum to be flexible and to relinquish control, two things a large cultural institution is not always accustomed to do.
This was an exercise in community engagement full force, maybe community engagement on steroids is the way you could say it.
That's Damon Reeves. He's associate curator of public engagement at the museum. He says Philadelphia Assembled may have long-lasting impact.
I think as an institution, it's been life-changing and very profound to see these stories. And I think we're humbled to be able to participate in this kind of conversation. And we want to participate and we want to be part of that civic dialogue.
This is the final weekend of Philadelphia Assembled. And many are asking, what now? After all this work has been done to establish relationships and spark new dialogues, the collaborators, including the museum, have held meetings about how to perpetuate it. Valentine says without the same level of museum support, Philadelphia Assembled will have to be reinvented.
There are many parts of Philadelphia Assembled that just gave us so much life, and we want to continue. But to be honest, we have no idea whether it can continue in the same form. But at least now we've all seen what's possible.
Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
Cool and cloudy, the forecast for Saturday afternoon's Army-Navy game time kickoff at the Link. Joining me to key in on the 118th annual clash is Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer and Philadelphia Daily News staff writer. Joe, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Pleasure to be here, David. Thank you.
This goes all the way back to the 19th century, and most of the games have been played right here in Philadelphia.
Right.
Is that due to the proximity to both West Point and Annapolis?
Exactly, yes. Everybody likes to travel half the distance. Now, in recent years, when the game has gone to Baltimore or East Rutherford, New Jersey, obviously it would favor one team's travel schedule over the others. I'm sure Army would very much appreciate that if we're not going to have the game in East Rutherford, we got to have it in Philadelphia.
Army seems to need every edge it can get, except for last year they were on quite a losing streak.
Yeah, they were. They had lost 14 straight games going into last year's game, and that was in Baltimore, so that was a bigger trip for them. But they ended up winning the game 21-17, and this year they go into a game with an 8-3 record, which is actually two more wins than Navy has. That's the first time that's happened in quite some time.
But both teams with winning records, this could be a competitive game.
It'll be a competitive game. And the other thing is this will not be the final game of the year for the seniors. They each will have a bowl game to attend, and that will extend their season and give them one more chance to play with their teammates.
Now, I did read in today's paper the prognostication of your cohort, including yourself, and you're in the majority saying Navy has the edge.
I waffled on that one for about 2 days, and I picked Navy, and this morning I woke up and saw it, and I said, you know what, I probably should have picked Army. Army's played very well. Navy has done some things that aren't typical of an Army team. Penalties, they're usually one of the most disciplined teams in the country. Their penalty standing is down this year, and their turnovers are up. So these are mistakes a Navy team doesn't usually make. These are mistakes that Army is not making this year. So that could end up spelling the difference, but I think it's going to be an extremely close game.
Put this game in the broader context of Philadelphia being inordinately a pro football Eagles fandom.
Right. Well, the thing is, this is all big convention business for the city of Philadelphia. The estimate from PHL Sports, which is the Convention and Visitors Bureau wing of athletics, sports, any kind of sporting events in this town, it says it's a $35 million hit that we get from this game, which is why they try so very, very hard to get it. The negotiations that for the most recent contract, which was announced in August, gave Philadelphia four of the next five games. So that's a win for Philadelphia. In the previous 6 years to this, only three games have been held in Philadelphia, one in Landover, Maryland, two in Baltimore. So the fact that Philadelphia can get this, make all this money for the city. And the other thing is, Dave, there's not a lot of hometown people, I think, that go to this game. I think if you fill the Link with 70,000 people on Saturday, I really think half or less will be hometown people. I think these are tourists that come in from all over the country to see the game, or there may be Army and Navy veterans who are just enthralled by the whole spectacle of the game, not the football exactly, but just the camaraderie, the pageantry, the tradition. Guys falling from a plane to deliver the first football, that kind of thing. There's nothing like it anywhere.
Okay, here's your last chance. You want to amend your bet?
Well, I like both coaches a lot. They're very gentlemanly. Ken Umatalolo of Navy and Jeff Munkin of Army are terrific guys. They understand the ways of the academy. They understand they're not going to get the stud football players, but they just do the best they can with what they have, and they just seem to be very honorable men. So whatever team wins, I'm sure it's going to be a great game.
Sounds like you're describing the essence of once upon a time collegiate sports.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see the game played where, you know, a guy doesn't stand over another guy and beat his chest and say, I tackled you. You know, I think Army and Navy, more than a lot of teams, understand the purpose of team play, that everything is a team. And it goes on beyond football. Like when they go off to serve their country, it's all part of a team. And that's one of the other neat things about it.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
I enjoyed it.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News staff writer. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at whyy.org/news. In Pennsylvania, gerrymandering, setting political boundaries to give one party an electoral advantage, is the subject of both federal and state lawsuits. Tomorrow evening, we'll look at what's happening in the courtroom and the possible outcomes. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller. NewsWorks Tonight.